Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And back in now behind the net. Rangers punched in front and they score. And it's Matt Rempe, his first career Stanley Cup playoff goal. Capitals trailing 1-0 here in game one. Far side and a turnover. Panarin shooting and he scores. Artemi Panarin, two goals on two shots for New York. It'll be Barkley Goodrow to take the faceoff, winning it back. Vesey shooting, and he scores. Jimmy Vesey, the Harvard product, getting it through. Though Beck Malenstein and John Carlson, and going top right corner on Charlie Lindgren.
John Walton, Caps Radio yesterday, is heard on 106.7 The Fan. 2 minutes and 6 seconds. That's how long it took for the Rangers to bury the Caps in game one of their best of seven first round playoff series yesterday afternoon at MSG. Three goals in 2 minutes, 6 seconds to turn a scoreless game into a 3-0 lead. The Caps lose game one 4-1, game two tomorrow night in New York. Good morning, everybody. Denton and I are both back. We're both back from some time off. I took 2 days off at the end of last week. Denton's been gone for like a week and a half, and it's nice to get him back. Thanks to Doc. Thanks to Chris, by the way, for producing for a while. Thanks to Doc for taking over at the end of last week. I certainly hope that he shared his mock draft with all of you rather than saving it for his podcast, which he sometimes does. We're going to get to the Caps game one loss a little bit later on in the show, but draft week is finally upon us. And it's here just in time to save us from the madness. Man, the 2 days that I was out at the end of last week, we had a lot of what John Keim told me yesterday, and you'll hear Keim talk about it a little bit, a lot of noise out there. But draft week is finally here, and it's a draft that has generated as much interest as we've seen in a long time. You know, not just around here, because Washington has the number two pick, but with four quarterbacks potentially going in the top five picks, which would be unprecedented. This has been a draft that has been top of everybody's rundown that does sports content for months. We've been talking about it for months. And I was thinking about this last night, Denton. The conversation for us about this draft really started to heat up during like a 7-day period from December 17th to December 24th. Two Washington games were played. The first was in L.A. against the Rams on December 17th. That was when Sam Howell got benched for the first time. Jacoby Brissett came in, threw a couple of touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. They lost the game, thankfully. But I put out a Twitter poll right after the game, that Rams game, asking if Washington should draft a quarterback, yes or no. A month earlier, Denton, you and I had done a Twitter poll for the show asking the same question, and the answer was overwhelmingly no. 90% a month earlier in mid-November, mid to late November, said no to drafting a quarterback. 10% said yes. And then after the Rams game, when it finally started to dawn on many that Sam Howell just might not be Joe Montana, the yeses after that Rams game on the exact same question skyrocketed from 10% to 75%. And the conversation about this upcoming Thursday night's first round of the NFL draft started to heat up. A week later was Christmas Eve. They were in the Meadowlands against the lowly Jets. And two things happened that were significant that day. The first was that Hal got benched again for Brissett. And this time it was even more obvious that Hal was not going to be anybody's long-term plan. It wasn't even that particular day, because I went back and looked at my notes from the Jets game. It wasn't even his fault completely that day, but it had become totally clear to everybody, including the Howlers, who were so sure going back to the year before that he was the savior. It had finally become evident that a new regime would be looking to start over at that position. But there was something else that happened that day. Christmas Eve in the Meadowlands, Greg Zuerlein saved Christmas and saved this upcoming Thursday night for Washington fans. Because remember, Brissett came into the game, they were down 27-7, and he led them to a 28-27 lead before Zuerlein booted a 54-yard field goal with 5 seconds left to win the game for the Jets 30-28. That finish was ultimately the difference between picking second and fourth. That would have been a significant difference Thursday night had Washington had the fourth pick and New England had had the second, Arizona the third. But that period, which included two losses, it included a clear cut, evident to everybody, that there would be a new plan at quarterback, and there needed to be a new plan at quarterback. And the fact that the two losses meant they had the means to do it in the upcoming draft when you knew that they were likely going to lose to San Francisco and Dallas to finish out the season, and they would end up with the number two pick in the NFL draft. But that two-game stretch, that started the conversation, which rages on today. What quarterback? Who will they take at number two? You know, at the start of the conversation, there was a lot of Caleb Williams conversation. You know, will he be there at two? Should they trade up to one? And, you know, for the last 2 to 2.5 months, basically, it's been clear that the draft begins at number two with Washington, and that Washington's on the clock for the most part because Chicago is going to take Caleb Williams. But we are finally closing in. Just about, let's see, 24, 48, 72. It's 10, 72. What time's the draft start? 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock?
8 p.m. on Thursday. Get the 8 o'clock,
so
out.
10, 82 hours away from Roger Goodell stepping to the podium and denouncing that the 2024 NFL draft is now open. The Chicago Bears are on the clock. And Chicago will quickly send the pick in, and Goodell will step to the podium, and he will say, with the first overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC. And then it will finally be here. As he says, Washington is now on the clock, and we will finally find out, or be on the verge of finding out, which quarterback they have decided on. Will it be Jaden Daniels? Will it be Drake May? Will it be J.J. McCarthy? The answer, I think most of us believe, is in that group of three. And I still believe, and I'm actually more confident than I've been, and I've been pretty confident all along in terms of who I want. But I am more confident than ever in what I think the team will do. And I think the pick will be LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels. More on that coming up. You know, we know that this draft for the franchise is way up there on the list of the most important drafts in the history of this organization. They've got 9 total picks, 6 in the top 100 of the draft. They have, of course, number 2 overall. They have 2 in the second round. They've got their own, and they've got number 40, the pick that they got from the Bears for Montez Sweat. They've got 3 in the third round, number 67 overall, their own pick, number 78, which they got back from the Seahawks as part of the deal for Sam Howell, and number 100, the last pick in the third round, which was the 49er compensatory third round pick that they sent to Washington for Chase Young. They have 2 fifth rounders, and they've got a 7th rounder as well. I want to point something out that I was reading over the weekend a bunch about the draft, last night in particular. One of the things that's become very clear, and maybe many of you already understand this, but I think it should be instructive in terms of how the team approaches not only this draft, but potentially how they handle some of their picks with respect to next year's draft. Meaning that because of NIL and because of the opportunity that COVID presented with that extra year, the day 3 picks in this draft, many people believe will be light. That it's not going to be a very strong back part of the draft on Saturday, rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7, because there are roughly 75 to as many as 150 players, depending on who you've read about this subject, that would have been draftable players that are back in college because of NIL money. So that's something to keep in mind. It's great that Washington has 6 in the top 100, because this draft after number 100, which ends the third round, may not be, at least going in, and we know that, you know, nobody knows anything about this draft, but it has been perceived as a draft that on the back end will be without players in the draft that should have been in the draft or would have been in the draft without the COVID year and without NIL money. Does that mean that Washington will be active in trying to trade up into the draft, into the first round, to get a pass rusher or left tackle after they've taken the quarterback? It makes some sense, but, you know, a couple of things have to happen, right? There has to be a willing trade partner. You just don't get to pick the spot and say, hey, we want to trade to number 25. So here's what we're offering. We're giving you the value between, you know, 30. No, you got to have a willing trade partner. You also aren't going to do that unless there's an obvious reason based on your draft board for trading up. It's got to be a player that they absolutely love, that they absolutely want, that they have rated much higher than the others that they believe they would get early in the second round at number 36. There's also, and I mentioned this last week, a not-so-obvious reason for trading up. When you have 6 picks in the first 3 rounds, if you get it right on the majority of them, and typically, you know, 35 to 40% is a good hit rate, not the majority of picks, but because they're all in the top 3 rounds, you probably have a slightly better chance maybe of hitting than you do on 4th, 5th, and 6th rounders. But you could potentially, let's just say if you hit on 4 of the 6 and they became significant contributors during their first contract, well, you would have potentially a lot of second contracts hitting at the same time. It is future planning, but having 5 players picked in the first 3 rounds, giving up perhaps 2 picks to move up into the first round, it's a concession to the idea that we don't want to get stuck in 2028 of having to re-up on 4 or 5 players that we drafted in 2024. Now, that would be a good problem, of course. It's interesting, though, about, and we'll talk to Ben will be on the show at 12 noon. You'll hear from John Keim on the show. Emery Hunt, who is an NFL and draft guy for CBS Sports, will be on the show today. We'll talk about some of those late first round scenarios and, you know, who they'd be targeting. You know, certainly tackle seems like an obvious one. Pass rusher could be, you know, a target at the end of the first round, right? Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury gets his quarterback, and Dan Quinn gets his pass rusher, both in the first round. But, man, this is one of the most important drafts in team history. New regime, a fresh chance being given by fans who have been fans, but also people who used to call themselves fans who are now, you know, more interested than they've been in many years because Dan is gone and there's a new regime in. And they have so many needs in an absolute perfect storm of cap space and draft capital to, you know, address a lot of those needs. But, of course, the biggest need is quarterback. They haven't had one since you-know-who left back in 2017, after the 2017 season. And I want to get to a couple of the things that I was not here on Thursday and Friday to discuss because it got a little bit, as Keim told me yesterday, used the term noisy on Thursday and Friday in the wake of the top 30 visits that had 20 or so coming together at the same time, including four quarterbacks. I'll get to my thoughts on Jaden Daniels, the agent, with some of the tweets or liking of tweets, what Adam Schefter said over the weekend, what Jeremy Fowler said over the weekend, what Ralph Vacchione from Fox Sports said over the weekend. And guess what? Jaden Daniels spoke over the weekend on a podcast with Chad Johnson, a.k.a. Chad Ochocinco, and Shannon Sharp. You'll hear some of what he said as well. We'll get to that and a lot more next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, I think with the optionality we have in all those picks, anything's in consideration. So, like we've said before, we're going to do whatever's best for this organization. So if that's moving up, if that's moving back, we'll do that. And lucky for us, we have the ability to do so with all the ammo we have.
Yeah, he also said, we feel great about staying at number two, Adam Peters said. He said, quote, I don't see a whole lot of scenarios where we trade down, to be honest with you. We feel great about sticking right there, closed quote. Of course, it is, you know, posturing season. I believe him, though. I think they're sticking right there at number two and taking a quarterback. There's always a chance. You know, we talked about this at some point last week. And the fact that Penix Jr. was among the quarterbacks that were there for the final 2 days of the top 30 visits, you know, lent some intrigue into well, is there an offer out there that's just, you know, worth considering? Is Minnesota offering their two firsts and then a first in 2025 and 2026 and Justin Jefferson? But I think the odds are pretty stacked in favor of number two quarterback to Washington on Thursday night. Look, the wishing and hoping of the last few years, which just did not come to fruition despite a lot of people really wanting it to, whether it was Sam Howell or Carson Wentz or Taylor Heineke, we're all in the same boat now. They don't have a quarterback on the roster that can be the quarterback to lead them to some sort of promised land of winning. And Thursday night, on the clock at number two, they'll try to take a step towards that. But, man, there was some noise last week. You know, we had just a lot on Jaden Daniels specifically. You know, from the reaction of Jaden Daniels' agent to the way in which the Commanders handled those 2 days of top 30 visits with 20 players and top golf and dinner, you know, and a dance afterwards. You know, Ron Butler, Jaden Daniels' agent, liked two tweets that criticized the Washington process, if that's the way you read the tweets, to which Jaden Daniels' PR firm had to kind of limit the damage a bit. They put out their own tweet. It came from Denise White, EAG Sports Management. She is a public relations, marketing, and crisis management expert at EAG Sports Management, the PR firm that represents Jaden Daniels. And she tweeted, quote, "Jaden Daniels is excited to be a part of the NFL, and wherever he is drafted, he will be happy to be a part of that organization." You know, that created a lot of action late last week. Look, I don't think, and I'll get to this in more detail, I don't think there's a lot there from my standpoint. With that said, man, what a bad idea for the grown-up, the supposed grown-up, the agent, to be liking tweets on X, on Twitter, that appear to be criticizing, knocking the team that might pick his client. That was not, I don't think, the best idea from his standpoint. And clearly the PR agency that represents Jaden Daniels didn't think it was a good idea either. That's one of those where you got to question, you know, is this guy, does he really want me as a long-term client? Because I don't need that kind of smoke. Now, some of you might say, well, maybe Jaden Daniels told him to like those tweets. Maybe he was speaking on behalf of Jaden Daniels. But still, that's not the way to handle it. You know, that's child stuff on social media. That's what you hope your representative can stay way above. And that didn't happen last week. But look, if they do, and when I say they, I'm talking about Jaden Daniels, him specifically, if he has an issue, you would certainly hope that it would be addressed with the team. There's a lot of reporting out there, you know, in the wake of these top 30 visits and the way Washington handled it, which, let me just point out, was not totally unique. The 49ers had done it before. The Patriots have done it before. The Vikings apparently did it at one point several years ago as well. I think a lot was made out of it. I don't know if this was, you know, a test to find out who the true leader is, who the most secure person is. Maybe they learned something, and maybe they learned Jaden Daniels couldn't handle being in the group with all four. I don't know. I don't think there was a lot organizationally that the end of last week produced in terms of a reaction. I'll just leave it at that. But there was a lot more. You know, there was Schefter. He had a quote that said that the top 30 visits, the way Washington handled it, quote, didn't seem to go over too well with the agent for Jaden Daniels, and that Daniels believed he would meet with Washington by himself. Schefter also told Pat McAfee late last week that Daniels had come to the realization that he has no choice in the draft and is prepared to go wherever he's drafted. And Schefter once again added that most people still believe it continues to be number two to Washington. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, said this, quote, "Well, there's a little bit of smoke there. People I talk to with the Commanders and other teams, they do believe Daniels is the favorite to be the pick at number two. Nothing set in stone, of course. It is the draft. But I'm talking to somebody close with Daniels who believes that he has at least openly wondered about his options." And then Fowler said that he's ultimately not sure what's going on in the mind of Jaden Daniels, but at the very least, he doesn't appear to be embracing Washington too warmly, but then says, quote, "I can't confirm that he doesn't want to play for Washington, but it hasn't been an easy, smooth process for whatever reason so far." And then Ralph Vacchiano, Fox Sports, we've had Ralph on the show before, he covers the NFC East. He said, quote, "I don't know if quarterback Jaden Daniels wants to play for the Commanders or would prefer another team, but the flap about his agent being unhappy and about the group quarterback visit to Washington is a bit overblown. The two sides, according to Ralph Vacchiano, have talked since, per sources, and settled any issues," closed quote. So, yeah, there was some activity last week at the end of last week. I'll just say that if Jaden Daniels actually has a preference, so what? I mean, he's 24 years old. Adults have preferences. And they act out on those preferences. But in this particular profession that he's choosing, they don't have that choice. They have a draft to keep the competitive balance of the league, which has driven the popularity of the league and hence the revenue that's followed that pays all these guys millions and millions of dollars a year. They don't have a choice initially. 4 to 5 years down the road, maybe. Maybe sooner if they're not a great player. But he's 24 years old. You know, these are young people. Of course they probably have preferences. Now, should they say anything publicly or have anybody speak on their behalf? No, but he hasn't said anything. There's been nothing really about preference from Jaden Daniels. You know, it's one of those things where I don't think the team is sweating it at all. I think they understand. They pick him. They put a good team around him. They've got Dan Quinn in the organization. They've got Cliff Kingsbury in the organization. And within a few weeks or a few months, he's going to be like, why did I ever even think that this wasn't a great place to come to? You know, it's their job, too, to make it a great place for the quarterback that they select. Now, if he had come out directly and said something to the or liked tweets like his agent did, it might be a little bit more problematic, but I just don't think it is. I think last week was much more of just, you know, it's a lot of noise. It's a lot of interest in this draft. It's a lot of shenanigans going on everywhere. Probably an immature agent on behalf of Daniel. Certainly an immature move. But yeah, the end of last week was about Daniels primarily. There's been some May talk out there. Daniel Jeremiah, Rick Spielman, among others, that like May to Washington at number two. So it's not all about Jaden Daniels, but it's mostly about Daniels. You know, the reasons are simple. It's he is believed by the most credible to be the second best quarterback in the draft. You know, and that's what Washington has, the second pick in the draft. So I'll continue my position on this. My personal preference has been and still is Jaden Daniels at two. For all of the reasons I've listed over the many months we've been discussing this. May and McCarthy, I'm going to be all in on anybody they pick. I'm going to be benefit of the doubt on anybody they take at number two. My preference is Daniels, and I actually like Penix after Williams and Daniels, but Penix is not a number two overall pick. May, I am absolutely on board with. If they pick him, I'll feel like they did what they were supposed to do, due diligence-wise. They know a lot more than all of us. I would be a little bit skeptical, just slightly, on McCarthy. Just slightly. Because I don't care if people think that J.J. McCarthy, you know, you didn't get to see what everybody else knows he can be. That's fine. But even at his best, where you do see the cut-ups of all the big-time throws and the big-time arm, and he's got all of that. He does. I just don't see a quarterback that's better than Jaden Daniels. I don't see a quarterback that should be number two in this draft. Maybe if they had number 23 or 24 or 25 overall, fine. You know, with Williams and Daniels and May off the board, fine. He might be a starting quarterback in the NFL for years to come. I'm not saying he won't be. I'm just saying Daniels is better. He's the better prospect. He's the one that I think deserves to go number two as we see it right now. But, man, lots of chatter, lots of smoke, lots of noise the last few days of last week. My personal view is there's nothing significant there. There's nothing that the team is viewing as a major problem. I think if we had heard something from Daniels specifically, it may have been more of an issue, but we haven't. It's really hard to know what to believe now. You got to trust the team. They've got the most information. They're in contact with Daniels' agent, maybe with Daniels' PR firm as well. And who knows? Maybe one of the reasons that I kind of feel like they don't think it's much of a problem is because they're not going to take him anyway. But I think they will. I've got, right now, 75% Daniels, 15% May, and then McCarthy at 8%, and Penix Jr. in a trade back at 2%. That's what I think as of now, and I doubt I will change my mind, unless something's actually reported, because nothing has actually been reported. All right, I promised you that you'd hear Jaden Daniels from that podcast. I'm going to save that for next hour. He said nothing controversial, just so you know. But it was interesting to hear his thoughts on a couple of things, including Antonio Pierce and the Las Vegas Raiders. But we've got a guest up next. He is Emory Hunt. He is an NFL draft expert for CBS Sports. He'll be our guest next. At 11 a.m., you'll hear and then at noon, Ben Standing, Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
NHL postseason began yesterday for the Capitals, and it was a day to forget. They lose to the Rangers 4-1 after allowing three goals in the second period in a span of about 3 minutes. Game two will be tomorrow. You can hear that on 106.7 The Fan. Great day yesterday for the Nationals. They beat the struggling Houston Astros 6-0. Mitchell Parker got the win, 7 innings, striking out 8, allowing just 3 hits. The Nats are 10-11 to start the season, a pretty good start for a team that wasn't anticipated to be good by many of the MLB talking heads. In the NBA postseason, the Clippers get a massive win over the Dallas Mavericks without Kawhi Leonard, 109-97. Earlier this morning, Scottie Scheffler wins the RBC Heritage. He has now won 4 out of his last 5 events. If you're wondering what place did he come in the event he didn't win, he came in 2nd. The guy's on another level, and that's what's trending.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai,
There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Emory Hunt is a contributor to CBSSports.com and CBS Sports HQ, and he's got the 2024 Draft Prospect Guide out, an industry standard, 900 individual scouting reports in the 2024 Draft Prospect Guide. He does a phenomenal job getting you ready for the NFL Draft, and we're lucky to have him on the show. He joins us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. You can follow Emory on Twitter, on X, at FBallGamePlan, and you can link to the opportunity to read what he's put together. So, Emory, thanks, first of all, for spending time with us. It all starts, you know, I think after Caleb Williams goes to Chicago at 1. So tell me how you've evaluated the quarterbacks after Williams.
Yeah, listen, appreciate you bringing me on the show. My number two is Jaden Daniels. I feel like he provides the most excitement and explosiveness at the position outside of Caleb Williams. You can even make an argument that he may be ahead of Caleb Williams in some people's eyes, so I wouldn't combat that. Number three is a little bit of a surprise because I feel like people are sleeping on Spencer Rattler. I like the fact that he's been battle-tested. It kind of reminds me of Baker Mayfield, the Buccaneers version of Baker Mayfield. And then number four, I feel like if Jordan Travis hadn't gotten injured, he would have been able to be a part of the entire all-star process, the entire combine process, and he would have played in that playoff game that Florida State didn't make. We would be talking about him as a guy that could potentially go in the top or in the first round. And then round out my top five is Drake May of UNC, who has still a lot of upside left in his game because he's a young player that's entering the draft early.
Interesting. So no J.J. McCarthy in your top five.
No, and here's the thing with J.J. McCarthy, and I always use this as the example. With everything that we know and have seen already about Brock Purdy, you're still not taking Brock Purdy in the top five or in the first round because you realize Brock Purdy is a guy that just has to do his job. And I feel like J.J. McCarthy is that same player. Now, that's not to say doing your job is a knock, but is acknowledging the fact that just because you play that position, I'm not going to overvalue you based on your athletic skill set and what you are capable of doing. I will realize that, hey, you are a piece of the puzzle. You are one of 11, and I will draft you as such.
You know, it's interesting that you put it that way because last week or maybe the week before, I said, look, even if you think J.J. McCarthy is Kirk Cousins, and I'm a huge Kirk Cousins fan, I don't think this franchise should have ever parted ways with him, or you know, they should have come to the table with a legitimate offer to keep him. But even if you thought you were getting Kirk Cousins, you wouldn't draft Kirk Cousins at number two. And, I mean, I don't know if you feel the same way about Cousins in comparing McCarthy as you did with Brock Purdy, who obviously yet, you know, hasn't proven yet to be at the Kirk level, but you wouldn't take that quarterback at number two. And I think that's the overarching point, is that you may think he's a good quarterback and maybe an NFL starter, but as far as the draft goes, there are just better prospects, right?
Exactly. And it's funny because we do it with every other position except quarterback. If we, like, as much as I love Braylon Allen and he is my number one back, I can acknowledge that he's not a first round back, and everybody be okay with that. Why can't we do that with quarterback? And maybe I'm old school, because I use the 1989 top five as a gold standard. Troy Aikman, Derek Thomas, Deion Sanders, Barry Sanders. If you're not of that talent, then those are top five picks, then I can't take you in the top five. And so that's why I feel like if teams start to view every position how they view every position, then outside of quarterback, then there wouldn't be as many whiffs in the first round at that particular position.
Interesting. So we'll get back to Jaden Daniels here in a moment, but you've got Drake May listed fifth. You've got Rattler and Jordan Travis ahead of him. What do you like about May? What concerns you about May?
I love the fact that May is a decisive athlete. So a lot of times you'll see guys that have athleticism forget they are athletes and end up taking a lot of sacks and end up not using that athleticism to get themselves out of a jam. Drake May does it on both ends of offense. He'll use his athleticism to buy some time to make a play down the field, and he'll use his athleticism to realize, like, hey, there's nothing open. I'm taking off, and I'm running. We see this happen with Justin Herbert a lot where he forgets that he's a terrific athlete, and he doesn't use that to his advantage, and that's where he gets himself into trouble. And where Drake May has to really get better is with the consistency. Like, a lot of times you'll see guys on social media post clips of individual clips of Drake May and say, oh, I was told that he couldn't do X, Y, and Z. It's like, yeah, that's a great example of him doing X, Y, and Z. Now play the whole game. Let's do the whole game of him doing that, and that's where you don't see it, which is why people have questions about his consistency, which is why he ranked fifth for me.
You said Spencer Rattler reminds you of Baker Mayfield. Who does Jordan Travis remind you of?
He reminds me a lot of what Russell Wilson looked at NC State. You know, I called him the Malcolm
before
X
Wisconsin.
Of quarterbacks. Before Wisconsin. I call him the Malcolm X of quarterbacks, right? The ball moves by any means necessary. And whether it's by the passing game, whether it's with his legs. And I was glad that I spoke with him at the combine because he said, like, man, as a freshman early in my career, I couldn't hit a receiver. And I was like, yeah, that jives with what we've seen, because early on in his career, you're like, man, I don't know if this guy is an athlete or a quarterback. Right, or he's an athlete playing quarterback. But by the time he was his last year at Florida State, he's like, whoa, they can't even function without Jordan Travis out there, because he had got that much better and became that much more precise as a passer, became that much better at situational football, which is very important for a quarterback. And I feel like that's the guy that you kind of want, that has gone through the ringer a little bit, got better over time, and became an asset, a plus one out there. Now, he may not have the physical tools as all the other guys, but this is someone that – just moves the ball down the field. Like, he's a good piece to the puzzle, in my opinion.
What, by the way, just out of curiosity, that it was such a horrific injury against, who was it, North Alabama, North Kentucky? I forget who they played that day.
North Alabama. It was North Alabama.
North Alabama. What is his health? Because that was a bad broken leg, right?
Right. It was a bad broken leg, but it wasn't. It didn't cause him to get his leg amputated. So it's still there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So he's still. And
thankfully.
We're seeing him doing drop backs, and he'll be ready for training camp and whatnot. To what degree, that's a different story. But this will be somebody that you take on day three. If you're a team that's just outside of the top three or four, and you don't really want to reach for a quarterback in the first round, let's say you're a team like the Giants, and it's like, hey, we can grab this guy, stash him for a year, redshirt him, let him learn our system, and therefore next season he can hit the ground running, figuratively and literally.
Emory Hunt is joining us from CBS Sports. Emory's got the 2024 Draft Prospect Guide. 900 individual scouting reports are in that guide. So let's get to Jaden Daniels, the guy that's been discussed more than any other as the QB2 in this draft. Not, you know, overwhelming consensus, but certainly majority. What do you like about Daniels? What concerns you about Daniels?
I like the fact that he has ice water in his veins, and that ties directly to his ability to play situational football. Let's go back to his freshman year at Arizona State when they're playing top six Oregon and Justin Herbert's on the other side. Under heavy underdogs, they go out there. He's going toe-to-toe with Justin Herbert, outplays him, and gets the victory, the upset win. Let's rewind back to last year. Remember the first game of the season against Florida State in the Superdome? As horrible as LSU played, they had a chance to win. At the end of the game, they needed a 99-yard drive. They were backed up, and Jayden Daniels drove the team all the way down the field, got the touchdown, but the kicker missed the extra point. And then you saw this past season where, okay, they needed him out there because back-to-back years they had the worst defense in college football. They couldn't stop anybody, so they needed 51 points to even be in the game. And Jayden Daniels was someone that was able to lock in those clutch moments, in those big games, and drive them down the field to get points. So, to me, it's not even about the arm talent or the athleticism, because we know quarterback play at the pro level is about how you manage third down offense, red zone offense, backed up offense, in a game situations, and all of those boxes he's checking with a permanent marker.
Yeah, I want to make sure everybody understands it wasn't the season opener this year against Florida State that Emery was referring to. It was the 24-23. They missed an extra point in 2022 that he's referring to that game. So what are your concerns about Daniels?
You want him to be a little bit more judicious on when and where he chooses to be Herschel Walker, right? Like, you can't go running into everybody. Like, I love the toughness. I love the fact that you feel like you're a tough guy. You could bowl him over, but you got to be a little bit more judicious. Save that for the end of game or when you're right there by the pylon, because you don't want to take too many hits. That's the beauty about being a ball carrier. You control the angle. You control how often or how hard you get hit, and you want him to be a little bit more judicious with that. And also, with regard to him throwing the football, you saw him get better in terms of anticipating passing windows. So he was thrown with a little bit more touch and timing this year as opposed to the 2022 season where he was more of a see-it-throw-it type of a guy. You want to see him consistently build on that anticipation he built up this season in 2023, which is why he was able to have such a fantastic year and win the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, we won't show him Herschel Walker tape. We'll show him Franco Harris tape. If you've ever watched, if you remember Franco Harris, he was amazing at getting out of bounds just before the big hit. Great back, but longevity because he wasn't trying to run people over like Herschel or Riggo was here in D.C. So who's your pro comp for Daniels?
You know, that's a great question because you see the Lamar Jackson comp, but I don't like that one because even though I think with the ball in his hands, he's equally as elusive as Lamar, but Lamar is a lot more explosive. So I would probably lean maybe toward someone like a C.J. Stroud with a supercharged C.J. Stroud because he can make all of the requisite throws. He does have the situational football that you like. I feel like he's a cross between that. And it's funny because last year I compared C.J. Stroud's game to Troy Aikman because I felt like Stroud was superior with his accuracy. But I feel like the way Stroud plays is similar to maybe Deshaun Watson would be a better comp now that I'm talking through it for Jayden Daniels as opposed to C.J. Stroud. But I feel like both guys had that element of like, all right, it's game time. Play time is over. Time to lock in. And that's what you really love about these quarterback prospects that are able to excel right away.
Why no Penix Jr. in your top five?
You know, it's fascinating because Penix and Bo Nix, for that matter, had two separate careers. You can look at them as an Oregon player or an Indiana player or what they've done recently in the Pac-12. For Penix, it's about, okay, I know he has the touch, which developed as a Husky because he was a see-it-throw-it type of a guy at Indiana. And I feel like his feet have to be underneath him to where he has to make or he is able to make those accurate throws and be consistent. But when things get muddy around his feet, it throws him off. He doesn't have the ability to really throw from the different platforms that you see a lot of the quarterbacks do today. And, yeah, he ran a straight line 4-4-5, but that's not really a part of his game. Now, we said that about C.J. Stroud, but I feel like it's more true about Michael Penix based on him concerned about not putting himself out there in terms of being injured once again, even though he has 2 years of a bill of health. But I just feel like the inconsistency with the footwork – when pressured, is a little bit concerning for me. That's why he's not right there within my top five. He's number six, but he's not in my top five.
Tell me what you think about the fit for Daniels and Kingsbury here in Washington.
Oh, my God. Listen, when Here's the thing. Football is a lot like basketball, and there's a lot of crossover. It's a matchup league. So let's imagine him spreading the field, right? We know he loves to spread, go wide, five wide, four wide. And if you have a guy that can just, you know, throw the football across the yard, it works. But now imagine you have a guy that can throw the ball across the yard that also has the element of now taking off and scoring from 60 yards himself. So defensively, it makes it an 11-on-11 game. It forces you to really play a certain amount of coverages because you can't really play man, because as soon as those defensive backs turn their backs to the quarterback, it's a 4-by-1 relay because the quarterback is running right behind you, all running the straight line toward the end zone. So having a guy that has that athleticism, the threat of the run creates so many open passing windows. So that's why you see a lot of mobile quarterbacks' efficiency be so high throwing the football, because they really dictate coverage.
We are talking to Emory Hunt from CBS Sports. So let's move on from the quarterbacks. Let's look at Washington with 6 picks in the top 100 of the upcoming draft and a lot of needs, including pass rusher and tackle, specifically, you know, trying to find a left tackle for years to come. There's a lot of draft capital there, Emory, for a potential move back into the first round to take somebody. What do you see as the possibilities for them at 36 or late first round at both of those positions?
I'm a big fan of draft who you want. If you like them, it's like art. If you see something you like, you buy it right away because it won't be around the next time you come back. So I'm saying that to say I'm a big fan of Kieran Amagaji, the tackle out of Yale. 6'5", 323, excellent athleticism. Does a great job with his hands and his footwork. He has the requisite power you want, the functional strength. And I know he played at Yale, but there were 3 former Ivy League offensive linemen at the NFL Combine, which speaks to the talent in the Ivy League and speaks to the way they recruit the offensive linemen. He's one guy I would keep an eye on. Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. In my scouting report, I put first line, blocks out the sun, mammoth offensive tackle. Like, legitimately someone that can play either side, right or left tackle. He is someone that I'm a big fan of. And, again, when you think about the day two offensive lineman, this is a deep tackle class. You can find these guys that can help you out on both ends of offense early. So it's not really where you're pressing to jump back into round one. There's an ample amount of options right there for you at day two.
All right, give me the guy in your 900-player evaluation that you think more than any other teams are sleeping on, and you're going to look brilliant, you know, in your evaluation 5, 6, 7 years down the road.
Wow, that's, you know, listen, that's a great question because I do dive deep. But I will say this, you know, there's this one guy I just watched, and I was consistently amazed at how often he made plays, and that was offensive lineman from Mars Hill, Leandre Andreas. And I was at the FCS Bowl, which is a lower all-star game in December, and I'm watching this guy wearing number 98 in the offensive line jersey. I was like, why is there a defensive lineman over here? But he just ran out of jerseys. But he was dominating, you know, the competition there, which is what you want to see from a D2 guy. And then he goes, I watch his film, and he won the Jacobs Blocking Trophy Award, which is the top offensive lineman in South Carolina. He won it for the Division II guys. Watch his film, and he's obliterating guys at right tackle, but he's 6'2", 315, so he's going to play guard. I think he's going to be excellent. And wide receiver Kyle Sheets of Slippery Rock, fantastic receiver, 6'3", 222, worked out at the Temple Pro Day, ran low 4.5, high 4.4. Reminds me a little bit of Puka Nacua in that he could play inside or outside. He's good with the ball in his hands. He's a vertical stretch player, someone that dominated his level of competition in the PSAC, the Division II conference that he plays in. So it's good football up there. So I like that he is someone that has been garnering a lot of attention later on in this process.
And you said in terms of the backs that you liked, you said Allen, right?
Yeah, he's number one for me because he has a good combination of vision, patience, footwork, agility, and balance. And it's cool to watch in a 6'1", 240-pound frame. So think Gerald Riggs, think someone like that for your old Washington fans out there to throw a reference. So someone that is big but can run small, sort of like Steven Davis, can get big when he has to. And I think that's something that's underrated. Plus the dude is like you know, 15 years old. He started college very early. So he's
really?
A young player.
I mean, it's just another Wisconsin back that'll probably be pretty good. They all seem to run the way you just described, with great balance, great vision, and always, you know, certainly until Phil Longo got there last year in more of a pro-style approach. Hey, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it, Emery.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, Emery Hunt, everybody. Follow him on X on Twitter, at FBallGamePlan. All right, you'll hear from Jaden Daniels on a podcast over the weekend next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.